Shalom Aleichem. For Parshas Vayetze, will Amir Tzeshem have 60 Divrei Torah, but first an overview of the Parsha. So at the beginning of the Parsha, Parshas Vayetze, we have Yaakov fleeing Esav, who wants to kill him, for stealing the Bechorah, stealing the Brachos, and we have Yaakov arrive at Har HaMoriah. He has a vision there as he sleeps, he has a dream, and thereafterward he continues his journey, and Yaakov meets Rachel. He goes on and works 7 years in order to marry her, as was agreed with his future father-in-law, Lavan. But as is known, Lavan, a thief, an evil person, he swaps the daughters, claiming Leah is older, or we would never marry off a younger one before the older one. Yaakov wakes up, it's Leah in the morning, and then he gets over it. He strikes another deal with Lavan, saying, I'll work another 7 years, and I get Rachel. He actually marries Rachel after the Sheva Brachas of Leah. So he marries Leah 7 days later, marries Rachel, and then another 7 years of work for earning Rachel, his second wife. We have Leah had children. Rachel initially does not have, and we have the concubines now marry to Yaakov as well. So each of them has children. And eventually, Baruch Hashem, Rachel has Yosef as well. And now we have throughout the Parsha continued deceit by Lavan, changing the employment deal, the employment agreement with his son-in-law Yaakov. Yaakov stays on, new deal, another change, constant negotiation. Eventually, Yaakov says, it's enough. Lavan is looking at me in a very evil way. He consults with his wives and they agree it's time to leave. Yaakov flees Lavan. Lavan pursues, as if Yaakov and his crew are thieves, confronts Yaakov, and in the end of the day, we have a treaty that is entered into between Yaakov and Lavan. That's at the end of the Parsha. We're going to go back to the beginning of the Parsha for the Divrei Torah. The way beginning of the Parsha, it says that Vayetzi Yaakov mi-Be'er Shava, Vayelech Haran, he left and he went to the place. I'll just read some of the psukim inside, and then we'll start the Divrei Torah. So Yifka b'makom Vayelech Haran, he got to the place, Har HaMoriah, and the sun set prematurely, and he took from the stones in order to surround it his head for protection, and he slept. Vayishka b'makom Ahu, he slept. That's the future location of the Beis HaMikdash. And then he had the famous dream, and it says as follows in Perek Chavches Pasuk Yud Beis Vayachalom. He had a dream, v'nei sulam mutzavartz, and he saw that there was a ladder, and the ladder was resting on the ground, v'roshom agia hashamayma, and the top of it went all the way up to heaven, and the malachei lokim, olim v'yardim bo, the angels of HaKadosh Baruch Hu going up and down it, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is at the top of it. And now there is a discussion and a bracha between the two. HaKadosh Baruch Hu addresses Yaakov. He wakes up in the morning, and then he says, I slept at this holy place. Vayikat Yaakov mishnaso v'yomar, Achein yesha Hashem b'makom hazev, anichi lo yadati, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in this place, and I did not know. In other words, had I known, I would not have slept here. Major Musar, and this is not the first of our Torah yet, Major Musar, he says, I shouldn't have slept here, and even though I had this encounter with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is an amazing thing, but it wasn't good midos, it wasn't derech eretz to sleep at a holy place. And we see here that Yaakov is saying and stressing that midos, having proper midos, is more important even than encountering HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because he's saying, I would not have slept here, even at the expense of not having this unbelievable encounter with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now we're going on to Dvar Torah number 1, going back, V'inei sulam mutzav arzav roshom agi hashamayma. So we have here the ladder that was resting on the ground, and the top of the ladder went all the way up to heaven. And we're going to now hear an Orach L'chaim who says that, in fact, and this concept is said by a lot of Meforshim, that a man is very similar. People are very similar to a ladder. And as we'll see as follows, Mutzav Arza, and we'll see actually two comparisons to a person. This is number one, that if a person Mutzav Arza, which means that he is not arrogant in his own eyes, he doesn't look at himself in a haughty way, but he's normal, he is an anav, he's modest, he's on the ground, he's got his feet on the ground. That's talking about a person that he's Mutzav Arza. He doesn't inflate himself, but he's really somewhat deflated, but not a shmata, he's on the ground. and doesn't have arrogance. But if that's the case, or if that is the case, then Rosho Magia Shamaima Hashamaima, in heaven, how do they look at him? They look at him in a very positive way, as if he's a great, great person. So when somebody's on the ground and lowly, in heaven, Rosho Magia Hashamaima, they look at him as if he's all the way up in heaven. And in fact, that's what the Zohar HaKadosh says, Manduhu Zahir Ihu Rav. Anyone who is small, in other words, he looks at himself as small, not arrogant. He, in fact, is a great person. And then we see in the very next pasuk, that is the person who is zocha to have, Yinei Hashem, Nitzav Alav, to have a Kadosh Baruch Hu standing over him, supervising him, standing by him. That is the schus of someone who is Mutzav Arts. In fact, in continuing the mashal of a person to a ladder, we'll take a little bit of a different direction, but continuing in with that mashal that a person is like a ladder, and it goes as follows. That means that if a person is like a ladder, he has to be involved in this world. That's Mutzav Arza. He is on the ground. He has to be involved in material needs. He has to be involved in earning a parnasa. He has to be involved in getting groceries and eating and all of the other mundane needs that we have as human beings. Nonetheless, Rosho Magia Shamaima, his head can reach the heavens. How is that? If everything that he does when he's on the ground, while he's Mutzav Arza, he does it all Lashem Shamaim, he does that all for the proper purposes, he can reach the highest of highs all the way up to heaven. And in fact, it goes more than that, that a person can have an unbelievable impact. He can be the engine in having the impact throughout the world. Now that works whether for good or bad. He can have a major influence. If he's doing good, he will have an influence, a positive influence. What he does below, he impacts above. And if he is doing bad below, he has a terrible influence above. And in fact, that is continued in the psukim. So we started as follows, that a person is Mutzav Arza. He is indeed involved on the ground. He has to have activities that are in this world, Rosho Magia Shamaima. And if he does well and he does positive things, he can reach the greatest of heights. And continuing in the psukim, talking about that ladder, there are angels that are going up and going down. And what that means is that even the malachim, even the celestial spheres, are dependent on our actions, a human being's actions below. If he does well, even the malachim can be ola, can be elevated. And if he does poorly in this world, the malachim will be yordim. They will be brought down as well. And I saw Sefer put it as this way, Ha'adam hu ha-moshel b'chol abriya, that a person is really the moshel, is the ruler of the entire creation, in b'ha'ashbas ma'asav, in the influence that he can have through his actions, al ha'hanagah ha'elyonah l'gabei olam, the impact they can have even in the celestial spheres, which can impact the entire world. So just to recap, we have two steps in this. We're comparing a man to a ladder in two different ways. One is that he is Mutzav Arza. So we're going back to the first one, that if he is Shafel, if he is lowly in his eyes, then in Shamayim, in heaven, he is viewed Rosho Magia. He is looked at as he is a great, very great person. He is raised all the way up. And the second way that we compared a person to a ladder is that it's Mutzav Arza, that he has to be involved on the ground in mundane activities. But if he does it l'shem shamayim, rosho magia shamayim, his head, he can reach in his greatest heights all the way above. But having said that, if a person is positive or negative, either way we can have an influence, and we will have an influence throughout the world that is reflected by v'hinei malachei Elokim olim v'yodim bo, the angels. If we do good, we are even elevating the angels, but if we do poorly, we are not elevating, we are bringing the angels down as well, and that's our impact throughout the world. Now, Dvar Torah number two, we're going to continue with the ladder and the dream, but we're going to now compare the sulam, the ladder, instead of to people, we're going to compare it to money. And it works as follows, according to the Or Tzadikim, that money is something that is Mutzav Arza, that it's on the ground, it's a lowly thing, it's not intrinsically a positive thing. It's on the ground, it's mundane, it's not positive. But having said that, Rosho Magia Hashamaima, its head, meaning the money can reach all the way up to the sky if we use the money that we have in a positive way, because money is necessary to do certain mitzvahs. For example, sometimes to be gomel chasadim requires money. Not always, depending on the chesed that we're doing. Certainly when giving tzedakah, we need money to give tzedakah. So there are mitzvahs, or there are things that can be done with money that cannot be done otherwise. So accordingly, the money is mutzavartz. It's a mundane, not necessarily a positive thing, but when it's used for positive reason, Rosho Magia Shamaya Ma, it can be used in unbelievable ways. And in fact, there's a Gemara in Sota that says, Tzadikim Chaviv Alehem Emonim Yosra Migufam. It's a strange statement that a tzadik, they love money. It is more fond upon them, their money, than their own bodies. How is that possible? So this is exactly the concept. Somebody who's a tzaddik can really appreciate the need for money in order to do certain things in this world, to do certain positive things. It is impossible to tzedakah, for example, as a primary thing, to buy a sefer Torah, to buy tefillin, and so many mitzvahs, it depends on our ability to fund it. And that's why tzaddikim really have an appreciation for money. Because and when it's used in the positive way, in the proper way, we can accomplish mitzvahs that we could not have accomplished otherwise. We are now moving forward to Dvar Torah number 3. We read the pasuk already. Perek Chavches, Pasuk Tezayin, Vayikat Yaakov. Yaakov wakes up. I think we read it already, but we'll read it now if we didn't. And he says as follows, Achen Yesh Hashem b'makom hazeh, v'anochi lo yadati. In fact, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is here. We did read it. Now I'm remembering. And he says, I didn't realize I was sleeping here. And the Tiferet Shlomo says something, as he says as follows, Achen Yesh Hashem b'makom hazeh. Excuse me. Instead of the Tiferet Shlomo, we're going to hear from the Maharami Prishmelin. He says as follows, Mefar Mishlin. Let's get the names right. Eitzel Paro, when it came to Paro, when Paro's waking up, he said something different. Here we have Yaakov waking up, and he's making an unbelievable statement. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is here. I didn't realize. But when it came to Paro, when he woke up after his dream, Vayikatz Paro, what does it say there afterward? It's in Bereishis Mem Aleph, Pasuk Dalet, Pasuk Kei, Vayikatz Paro, Vayishan, Vayachalom Sheinis. He went back to sleep. He had this dream, this very powerful dream, and he went back to sleep. And that's the difference, says the Maharam in Par Mishlin, as follows. We have a significant difference between Yaakov and Paro. And Yaakov wakes up, he's ready to go. He gets the meshes when he's asleep, and every day as well. He is mizdarez, alacrity for Torah and avoda, and he says, "Achen yesh Hashem b'makom hazeh." Let's get going. God is here. God's expecting me to be active and do positive things today. But when it comes to Paro, on the other hand, he wakes up from his sleep. What does he do? He just goes back to sleep again, not ready to attack the day. And in fact, this is the first halach in Shulchan Aruch. When we wake up, we should wake up with alacrity. Yiskaber ka'ari lasod shon avicha shesh b'shamayim. We should roar like a lion. We should get up like a lion to do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu desires. That's the first thing we say when we wake up in the morning. Mo'de ani lefanecha melechai v'kiyam tov. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, thank you for giving me back my neshama so I can indeed do wonderful things today. We are now moving forward to the next Vartora, number 4, Vizesh Ar Shamayim, is part of what Yaakov Avinu says when he wakes up. He makes this following statement, and this, I didn't realize, but this is the entrance to the heavens. So there's a very powerful Rabbi Eliezer Leib, who darshans the pasuk as follows, but first a little bit background, if we can think about the situation that Yaakov is in. Yaakov has now fled from his brother. His brother wants to kill him. So he's now wandering. He's in a foreign land. He has no family around. He has no money around. He has nothing. He's fending for himself for the first time. You can imagine how difficult it was for him. And this is a terrible situation. The challenges from all around him, and he sees no way out. It is a desperate situation. And he's thinking, Ein Yavo Ezri, from where is my savior going to be? How am I going to be saved out of all these challenges, financial challenges, emotional challenges, social challenges, so many challenges from all sides? And now he has a dream. And he has this dream that he has that ladder that's on the ground, and its head reaches up to the sky, and he sees the angels going up and going down. And what's the message to Yaakov as follows? From heaven, they're telling him as follows, as difficult as it is for you right now, all of these tests that you're having, Einam Ela Sulam, they are like a ladder. and that ladder will reach the heaven. What does that mean? That all of these challenges are a way for you to overcome and reach perfection, shleimus. Through challenges, through difficulties, when we overcome, this is the message, Jim. If you can go up, you can go down, but ultimately we have to strive to go further and further up. The pasuk says, "Vine malachei Elohim olim v'yordim bo." The malachim are going up and down. We can go up despite these challenges. We can also go down. We can go up. We can go down. We have that choice. And Yaakov wakes up from his dream and he says, "Achein, God is here. Achein, Yesh Hashem b'makom hazeh." And I didn't know. Banachi lo yadati. And referring to b'makom hazeh, God is in this place. He said, "Achein, Yesh Hashem b'makom hazeh." What is that referring to? B'makom hazeh, my difficult situation. Now I wake up and I saw this dream, and the message to me from heaven was, despite all the difficulties, you can indeed do great. You can get out of it. You can strive. And now he says, I see God is b'makom hazeh, even when I'm down and out with all of these challenges and all these difficulties, God is with me. V'anechi lo yadati, and I didn't know that. Such a chiddush for me, he says, that these challenges are ultimately going to be for the good, and I need to persevere despite them, and I need to push and go up that ladder. Ein zekim beis Elokim, this is the house of God. In other words, this is a bias. This is what I have to do. I have to make permanence. I can survive. I can live. This can be my place, and I can go and overcome. Very powerful message from Eliezer Leiba. Obviously, not easy to implement when we have challenges in life. But indeed, we have to remember that we have that ladder in front of us, and we can go up or we can go down. It's up to us to overcome the challenges, but we always have to remember that God is with us. Achein yesh Hashem b'makom hazeh. God is with us b'makom hazeh, even despite the challenges when we're down and out. V'anochi lo yadati, we may not do it, but we have to remember that Ein zekim beis Elokim, God is with us, and we indeed can make this a permanent positive experience. We are now moving forward to Dvar Torah number 5. Yaakov makes a vow. He says, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu guards me, and he gives me bread to eat and clothes to wear. And he says the following in Perek Chav Ches, Pasuk Chav Aleph, V'shafti b'shalom el beis avi, and I return shalom, b'shalom, in peace to the house of my father, to Yitzchak's house. Rashi says something fairly cryptic, or very cryptic. He says, what does that mean, shalom? We would say tranquility, peace, I'm safe, unharmed. Shalom, shalem min acheit, that I am shalem, that I am full, pure, from having sin. So why does Rashi say, v'shafti b'shalom, means v'shafti, I will return to my father's house, shalem, that I did not commit any sin? So where does Rashi learn this from, this cryptic explanation? So the Matan Moshe says something fascinating. He says, if you look at these psukim, Yaakov is talking about what HaKadosh Baruch Hu will do for him. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you guard me, if you give me bread, if you give me food, and then he says, v'shafti b'shalom, if you were speaking to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu would do for him, he wouldn't have said, v'shafti, and I will come back. He says, it should have said, v'hashivani b'shalom abeisavi, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you return me in peace to my father's house. So, but he didn't say that. He said before, v'nasata li lechem lecho v'bege livos, you will give me food to eat, give me clothing to wear. But that's not the statement from Yaakov. He didn't say, and you will return me b'shalom. But rather, he says, I will go back b'shalom. And accordingly, there's a concept that we have in the Gemara, hakobi dei shamayim chutz miyira shamayim, everything is in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with the exception of fear of God. And we have Yaakov Avinu saying to us right now that fear of God, that's in my hands. In other words, not sinning, that's in my hands. That's not what I can say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you return me and I don't sin because you ensure that I don't sin, he can't be saying that, because sinning is not God's responsibility to keep us from sinning. It's our responsibility not to sin. That's our Yira Shamayim. That's our ability to decide whether we're going to sin or not. So accordingly, that's why Rashi says, v'shafti b'shalom obeis avi, talking about it, I will return shalom. It must be talking about shalem min acheit, because that's what's up to us. Up to us is not to sin. And that's why Rashi says, v'shafti, I will be responsible for this. Must be talking about what we're responsible for, shalom min acheit, that we won't, that he won't, Yaakov is saying, and I won't sin. Now we're moving forward to Dvar Torah number 6. We're jumping forward towards the end of the parasha. It's Perek Chavtes, Pasuk Yutes. that not exactly towards the end of the parsha, but certainly a jump. And we have Yaakov, 7 years of work for Rachel. Lavan was evil, nefarious, and calculated. And when we had that discussion between Yaakov and his father-in-law about that he wants to work, it's actually not so much deep into the parsha, it's actually towards the beginning still. But nonetheless, we have Yaakov and Lavan talking about Yaakov saying, "I want to marry Rachel." So the statement by Lavan is, "I may as well give her to you rather than somebody else." That's what it says. Tov tisi osa lecha mitisi osa leishacher. I may as well give it to you rather than somebody else. So the Niflos Chadash says something fascinating. We have Lavan, who really was an evil person. And not only was he himself evil, but he didn't want good in the world. He thought that having good in the world, having positive in the world, mitzvahs in the world, that was not the good thing. So he was calculating, how can he have the least positive good people in the world? So what he's saying is, and thinking is as follows: I have a daughter who is a real, real special person. She's a tzaddikah. She does well. And whoever she marries, even if he's the most evil person in the world, she is going to have an influence on him. And she will have him return bichozer b'tshuva. He's going to become a law observant or observant individual, because she is on such a level, she will impact people in that way, in a positive way. And Yaakov has that same power. Whoever he marries, even if it's the most evil of women, he's going to return her to tshuva. So we have two people like that. It's what's going to happen. If she marries somebody else and he marries somebody else, then they're going to be four positive people in the world, not just two. So he says it's preferable that I have the two of them married, because then we're going to only have two positive people in the world, because they'll influence each other. They're already both tzaddikim. So all we'll have two instead of four. So I prefer to give her to you, says Lavan. Lavan says, I prefer to give Rachel to you, Yaakov, rather than somebody else. Better to have two tzaddikim in the world than four. And that was his preference. So that's the explanation by the Niflos Chadashos of why Lavan, in fact, was agreeable and in favor of Yaakov marrying his daughter rather than somebody else. So there we have it. And obviously our goal is to increase good in the world as much as possible, not ensure that it is limited in contrast to Lavan. All of our acts should be in contrast to Lavan as well, bringing positive and mitzvahs into the world. Thank you so much for listening.